everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Bob Dio, producing and engineering the Buckmaster Show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Tuesday, December 11th, 2018. Christmas Day is 2 weeks from today. Do you believe it? My goodness. You are listening to, and we're glad you're doing so, to AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our programs on the Buckmaster Show are archived, easy to use, at buckmastershow.com. Today we resume our interview series presented by Pima Community College. This series introduces the Buckmaster Show listeners to the very talented and dedicated educators of Pima Community College. Today we hear from Dave Cosgrove. Dave is the head coach of the newly minted national champion Pima Community College soccer team. The Aztecs won 26 games, including 18 consecutive matches, doubling the school's record. Pretty amazing. The Aztecs won the national championship in the second overtime against Barton Community College. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing very good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about how all this came together. It's usually not one thing, but it's a combination of many of things falling in just the right way. How would you characterize, Dave, this season?
I think that's exactly how I would characterize it. You know, I've been at Pima for 20 years now, and it always seems like, you know, something would always not break our way at the biggest moments. We've had tremendous teams, tremendous talent. We've been close a couple times. But, you know, whether it was luck or the ball bouncing or quite honestly just us not being good enough, the other team being, you know, better than us, we just couldn't break through. But this year, everything just seemed to go our way, from bounces to luck to creating our own luck, and then of course having quality players never hurts as well.
Like this Japanese star, Hugo Kamatani, is it pronounced that way,
Mr. Yeah, very good. Yeah, Kamatani. Much faster than I learned it.
He scored the game-winning goals in the national championship semifinals and final. He's a sophomore. How did he come to wind up at Pima, Dave?
You know, Pima has a terrific ESL program, with ESL being English as a second language.
Right.
And he came here actually to attend another junior college on a full scholarship, but he couldn't meet their ESL requirement. So he spent the summer at Pima, upgrading his English and getting his test scores up so he could potentially transfer to that school. But while he was at Pima, he trained with us, and obviously we immediately recognized his talent. Pima has a lot to offer in terms of academics, in terms of environment, socially, athletically. So we were able to, you know, convince him to stay. So he kind of just dropped in our lap, if you will, two summers ago. And you know, to the credit of the International Students Department, our athletic trainer, Akira Kondo, who's a Japanese athletic trainer, he was able to help us convince Hugo to stay. And of course, I think it's been a great relationship. It's done a lot for our program, and of course it's done a lot for Hugo as well.
What a great career he has ahead of him. Could he eventually play professionally?
Yeah, you know, actually I think he'll be a better professional soccer player maybe than a college soccer player, just because of the dynamics of the game. But I think he has a very high end. He's intellectually at a very high level for a junior college player. And then the technical ability he has is very good. It speaks very strongly to the background he has and the training he had as a youth player.
You earned your history degree from the University of Arizona in 1993. I understand you were going to pursue a career in law enforcement that, for whatever reason, didn't work out. You're the son of a distinguished University of Arizona history professor. Would you, at one point, did you want to teach history?
I did, it goes back to, you know, when I graduated high school, you know, I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do, so I enrolled at the U of A, but I just didn't quite fit in there. And, you know, Pima drew me because they had just started a soccer program, and the coach back then was a gentleman I had known growing up playing soccer, so I decided to play at Pima. And, you know, basically from 1987, the day I stepped on that campus, Pima has been a huge part of my life. So I played there, and then, you know, I pursued my degree. Eventually, I did get back into coaching at Empire High School here in Tucson, and I went through and got my teaching credentials, and I was going to coach there, but an opportunity came up for me here locally to pursue a full-time career in coaching, and ever since, that's what I've been doing. And honestly, I think I have the best job in Tucson. I get paid to coach, you know, youth players, college players. I have terrific support systems in both in the SC Tucson Youth Program and at Pima College, so I'm very fortunate.
Pima really is lucky and fortunate in many ways, because Tucson is a soccer town, isn't it?
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. You know, for whatever reason, you know, people mean Division I, Division II programs don't recruit the men's side that well down in Tucson, so Our roster usually has 4 or 5 Division I caliber players, and just for various reasons, whether it be academic, financial, or just these kids go unnoticed, they haven't been recruited well in Tucson. You know, I think that's beginning to change here over the last decade. More and more kids are going straight from college to major Division I, Division II programs, but Pima has such a good reputation, and we're able to convince a lot of very talented players to stay home.
Back in the day, I played soccer at New Trier Township High School in Winnetka, Illinois, in suburban Chicago. We had a terrific team. I started out as a freshman in football. Didn't work for me. Tried to be a quarterback. Transitioned to soccer my sophomore year and found that game much more to my liking. Is that story unusual these days, or do you still get the football changeovers?
You know, actually, with, you know, soccer advancing so much in America, a lot of kids are picking soccer at a very early age. You know, most of the kids on our roster probably have been one-sport athletes for the last decade. They've played high-level soccer for the last decade, whether it's either in Tucson or, you know, other places. We have multiple kids from Phoenix. We have a couple kids from the Northwest as well. And they just chosen soccer as a sport early on, and we've seen a lot more of that, you know, and I think it's like any other really technical sport. You got to spend a lot of time honing your craft. So the earlier they start, you know, I think the better chances they have of being successful. Not to say that we don't get great athletes from other sports, and a lot of these kids did play other sports in high school, but they continue to play soccer over the last decade.
How important are academics to these kids at Pima?
You know, we stress it, and I'll tell you what, Pima does an unbelievable job. The support staff at Pima, you know, gives not only student-athletes, but students every opportunity to be successful in the classroom. We have terrific counselors who work with our kids on a weekly basis. The teachers there take a great interest in all the students and our athletes as well. So, you know, what we always, you know, are talking to our kids about is we're just merely a stepping stone. They're just there for a year or two. And if we do our job and they do their job, they're going to play soccer a year or two at Pima, then transfer to a four-year degree, because not only will their soccer be good enough, but their academics should be in order and they should be ready to move to a four-year institution. And that's what we really strive for. You know, one of the greatest things we had happen last year in 2017 is every one of our sophomores was offered a place to play at a four-year institution. And not so much because the soccer, but they all had their academics in order, so they were easy to transfer, and of course they were good players as well.
You know, you win the big championship now, of course everybody is going to say, what about next year? So the bar is set high, isn't it, Dave Cosgrove?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit hard to top this year, that's for sure. We set all sorts of records. But, you know, even last year we lost in the national semifinal. Back in 2015, we lost in the national semifinal. And then in 2014, we finished fifth in the country and lost in the national quarterfinals. So our expectations are always very high. Obviously there'll be some added pressure. But we have, a lot of returning players. And as we mentioned, Tucson senior class this year is terrific. It's loaded with very talented soccer players. And we've had commitments from about 7 or 8 of them. So we're really excited about it. You know, my assistant coach, is literally getting back from South Korea today. He was over there on a recruiting trip to try to make a connection with some South Korean players. So, you know, we're as much as we are happy with this year, and we're still celebrating it, and I think I'll probably milk this as long as I possibly can. we're already on to next year and looking forward to the opportunity to defend a national championship.
Dave Cosgrove, a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for what you're doing in our community and what you're doing at Pima with these fine young people. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to have me on.
Thank you very much. Dave Cosgrove is the head coach of the national champion Pima Community College soccer team. At the top of the heap of the National Junior College Athletic Association in soccer. And folks can learn, and we encourage you to do so, about Pima Community College. Visit pima.edu. We also encourage you to visit monasdanishbakery.com. That's our favorite bakery in town. And, of course, they're home of the Danish Kringle. And Danish Kringle and Christmas kind of go like jingle bells, I guess, and Santa Claus. I mean, it's really what it's all about. The Kringle is a great way to start your holiday morning, or you could have one, I guess, even right before your big meal. You could have one for lunch. Have one right now. Go up there and see Steve and the team in the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Here's an idea. Have a sandwich, and then how about a slice of a Kringle for dessert up at Mona's? Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's and all of our great sponsors. And again, their website directly is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back with Shelley Fishman. Shelley's going to give me, oh boy, thumbs down on the market. We'll see what's going on after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Now would be a perfect time to consult with Shelley Fishman. After all, I woke up today, took a look at how the markets were doing, looked like we were off to a great start. The Tuesday curse on the Buckmaster Show has reared its ugly head. Hello, Shelley. How's your week going so far?
Week's going just fine, personally.
Swimmingly, yes.
As far as the markets are concerned, the markets are concerned about lots of things, lots of uncertainty. We're getting continued volatility. And right now we're down about 4% on the year.
You know, the year start, well, let's go back. And the New York Times saying they had a piece saying the market wiped out its 2018 gains. But if you step back, it's still riding high. I guess when you step back, it's how far do you step back?
Well, clearly, I mean, we can pick any date you like. 2017 was a pretty good year. We had 23% gains. Overall, and the end of 2016 after the election was pretty good. But step back even further, if we take a look at where we were, say, at the low point in 2009, we've averaged about 20% a year from 2009 till today. That's maybe a little lower now because of the past couple of weeks. But that average has been well above normal. The normal average is about 11 or 12% gain per year. So what we're seeing in the recovery from the Great Recession was an especially robust market performance that now is going to be held back a little bit by the, let's call it, flat performance for this year. And next year, given the lack of additional stimulus, assuming nothing breaks with a loud crash, we'll probably have a 6 to 10% market. So that'll start pulling the average back down to the normal 11 or 12%, which we expect in markets over time.
So am I hearing you correctly that this year will probably be the first negative year overall since 2009?
No. Oh, God, I'm going to have to talk from memory, and I shouldn't. I think 2015.
Oh, okay.
2012 was this fantastic 30% year, and then 13 was okay. But I think somewhere in there was a negative year.
Okay, so there's been a negative year since 2000.
Yeah,
this could be the second
and
negative.
Intra-year daily results. I mean, we've had several corrections since 2009, but we arbitrarily pick annual figures.
Right.
We can pick monthly figures. You name it, but the overall performance of the market since the Great Recession has been phenomenally good. On average, on any given day, it could be very, very good, or it could be miserable.
Now, there are some of the talking heads on the financial shows is talking about the big B, the bear market, that this could be the beginning of a bear market. These talking heads seem to be very much in the minority.
They are very much in the minority, and the reason is, number one, nobody can quite define what a bear market is.
Mm-hmm.
There have been several since 2000 or since the 1980s, but no real severe bear market. Bear markets or down markets over, say, a 20% drop over, say, a 3 or 4 month period, by some definitions, is a bear market. And if you take a look at where those bear markets have occurred, they've always kind of predicted a coming recession. And so in the 1980s, during the Reagan years, we had two recessions. During the Bush year, we had one. Clinton years were phenomenally good. Then we had a recession in 2001. though some people call that the end of the Clinton years. It was really George W. Bush. So every time we move into a recession, we're moving into a recession, the market anticipates it and gives us a sign that something is wrong. The real bear market, where you have month after month after month of steady down to the right kind of reduction line, we haven't had one of those, I think, since the 1970s. So the market in general has been very positive. And again, on average, even though on any given day or in any given month it can be negative, on average it gains 11 or 12% per year.
Are you telling your investors stay the course? That is the message, right?
Right, but it has to be the right course. So if a client is properly allocated for their risk tolerance and their age, if they have set aside a rainy day fund, if you will, or an emergency fund to take them through a downturn, and if they have been listening to this show and hearing me say now for close to, 6, 7, 8 months, that it's time to put some cash on the side.
Yeah, you were saying park some money on the sidelines at least 6 months ago.
Right, so that you can now take advantage mm-hmm. of the lower prices when you feel it's appropriate to do so, mm-hmm. then I think you're okay. I'm in a position right now where I'm reinvesting. I'm buying. I don't think this market is going much lower. Of course, we could have a government shutdown next week. Mm-hmm. We could have an explosion in the China trade war. Who knows? But absent anything, again, the unknown unknowns. Absent something like that, I think we'll wind up the year pretty close to flat. GDP will come in at around 3%. We had a 2.2 first quarter, a very good second quarter was 4.2, pulled back in the third quarter down to about 3.2, and the fourth quarter should come in at around 3, and that'll give us an average of about 3% GDP growth. There's some fudge in there because of the tax stimulus. Next year, most economists are looking for 2%, and then the headwinds, the smoky kind of in the distance kind of danger signs are probably off into 220.
When is the Fed? When is the Fed meet? Isn't that next week?
It's this week or next week.
Okay.
And we should see the Fed do another quarter point rise.
That's pretty much built in.
That's pretty much built in. What is interesting, of course, is what the Fed chairman says afterwards. Mm-hmm. And if he's continuing to take a more or less aggressive stance in terms of his trying to control inflation, because inflation is about where the Fed wants it to be and mm-hmm. unemployment is very low. If he gives an indication that maybe we'll only see 2 increases next year instead of the 4 that have been predicted, I think we could get a spike in the market that would be much to the good.
All right. So in conclusion, your prediction for 2019...
Prediction for 2019 is about a 2.2% growth in GDP, high single digit growth in the equity markets, bonds stable, in general I see unemployment, that number is not going to go much lower than 3.7%. We'll create another 2 million jobs as we have this year, so it's kind of steady as she goes. Unless we get something that really rocks the boat, and that can come from anything like the effects of. We just read this week, for instance, that the cost to American industry of the fires in Northern California.
What is that price tag?
$12 billion.
With a big B.
Oh, boy. And that's just the one event.
Yeah.
So, that doesn't count the hurricanes and all of that.
So we got the NAFTA deal, too.
And, well, NAFTA could be signed. I think that'll go well. I wish mm-hmm. we'd get back in the Pacific Partnership, but...
All righty. Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. We will see you next Tuesday, and then we'll be off for Christmas and New Year's. So we'll have your final report of 2018, a kind of our wrap-up report. We'll look forward to that next week.
Right. Time flies when you're having fun.
Sure does. Shelley, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great, Bill. Thank you.
Voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Welcome back. It is the Tuesday edition of Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk brought to you by Green Things. Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things is your headquarters for poinsettias. Thousands and thousands of poinsettias available in every imaginable color over at Green Things. And also stop by Zocalo Village. All that great merchandise they have from Mexico. Some of those tin trees that they do at Zocalo Village from Mexico are really impressive. I was over there last Saturday looking at the merchandise. They're really doing a great thing at Zocalo Village in the Green Things 13-acre site. So check it out. Let's check out Keith Rosenblum, who is the Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico. Keith is former Arizona Republic and Arizona Daily Star Mexico contributor and reporter. Keith, how are you?
You neglect to say that Keith also sold his soul for 2 years and some months working for your federal government as a communications director.
Yeah, I don't bring that up enough, Keith, because that was one of your...
I don't want to lose any opportunity to boast.
No, it was one of the highlights. I think one of the highlights of your career, certainly.
Of a very shallow career, it is one of the highlights, that's correct.
You were the communications representative, spokesman for Congressman Jim Colby. How is Jim doing?
You know, it's been a couple of months since I spoke to him. He sounded great, but he was in a hospital last time I spoke to him, and then I know that he had felt better because I spoke to a mutual friend. So I can't answer your question because he was in Washington the last time, but if there's anybody who is, what's the word? You don't get to use the word irrepressible very often, but I believe that since the IQ of your average listener is in the 140 to 160 range, we can do that kind of thing.
You can certainly say that any time of the day. Congressman Colby, of course, was very much instrumental in trying to get that North American Free Trade Agreement deal done, the original.
He is squirming. I will tell you, if that's where you were going to go with your prologue there, I will tell you that Jim has been squirming at what he's seen in the last couple of years vis-a-vis Mexico. He's seen a lot of his work undone. He was a warrior, a battler for good relations with Mexico. There's not a better ambassador when it comes to things with Mexico, and he was... I believe he grieves for what he's seen both in the trade area, which is his specialty, as well as with just the day-to-day activities at ports of entry.
So this NAFTA 2.0 or whatever, you revised NAFTA, he's not all that keen on it, I guess, huh?
You know, that part, I don't know specifically there, but I do know that with it, that as a free trade guy, very close to Milton Friedman, if not on some areas more so, that he would be looking at all of our tariff policy, and in particular things involving Mexico, and would just be shuddering. Remember, it wasn't exactly a unanimous vote. I believe that with Jim's leadership in the House at that time, with Clinton as president and Carlos Salinas as president in Mexico, that it only passed. It was a really interesting patchwork of Democrats and Republicans that got NAFTA passed in the first place, and it was not a done deal. It was in the 240 to 211, something like that, vote. And so it was never done. It took a lot of people crossing party lines to pull it off.
Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador is the new president of Mexico. He was sworn in on December the 1st. The 65-year-old president now has... There was some talk today about a lot of money being put toward migration. That was kind of a headline today out of Mexico. I don't know what's going on in that regard. How do you think he's going to do?
Let me do this. In the coverage of López Obrador taking office, very few people have actually gone to the commitments that he made in his speech.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing López Obrador has been consistent on since he's been active in politics, which is 40 years. He does keep his word. And so at the risk of boring you to death, for one second, I'm going to tell you just like a couple of the promises that he made. Okay?
Go ahead, sure.
These are things. And you cut me off, okay?
Okay.
But listen to what he says during the speech. His speech lasted an hour and a half.
Mm.
And generally his speeches are tedious, but this actually had a lot of content, and I've gone back and listened to the whole thing. And there's an article in the Mexican press. It's in Spanish, but I'll go ahead and just tell you very quickly some of the promises that he makes, okay? So you can,
okay.
You can see that Mexican, it's not entirely, you know, demagoguery. He is a demagogue, I believe, but these were actually specific things. Okay. He says, I'm going to promote a law that actually converts corruption into a felony, which, believe it or not, does not exist today.
Hmm.
I'm going to eliminate, we're going to bring, no Mexican civil servant will be receiving more than the equivalent of $5,000 a month, regardless of his position. And there's a lot of people who will be penalized in that category. There will be no offices of any governmental entity in the United States or anywhere in the world, I should say, unless it is the diplomatic corps and possibly tourism. Insofar as I'm concerned, he says I will eliminate the immunity that presidents have and that sitting senators and congressmen have from prosecution during their period in office. He tells how he'll separate politics from government by introducing basically a layer of decision making. He will he sells the presidential airplane, which I guess is already on the market. No civil servant at any level will fly first class ever in either a plane or a helicopter, and he sells off sort of part of the fleet. We're going to cancel what was called the Reforma Educativa, which is their educational reform. A lot of people had complained about it. He just comes in and he says, I'm going to get rid of it. And, you know, this follows, by the way, his decision to get rid of to have a referendum to get rid of the current airport or to end the construction of that current airport. He introduces, which is very relevant to us and anyone else along the border, he introduces the border zone in which for 25 kilometers going south, which basically means in our case means Naco, Nogales, Prieta, and any populations that are, 18 miles south, that there will be an economic, we'll call it a free zone. He's calling it a free zone, which means that the value-added tax, which is one of the big boogeymen in the tax system in Mexico, goes from 16% to 8%. The income tax for people who are working in those plants goes from to a maximum of 20%. Mexico's threshold or highest income tax right now is in the 35% area. It doubles the minimum wage for people who are working in the border. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's fascinating. I don't know if it's going to how it's going to take, but I want you to realize, I want your listenership to be aware that the speech that he gave, and you can find this online if you do a Google search that put in that López Obrador pledges or promises in inaugural talk, it'll turn up all of these. So the guy who hadn't really come forth with much in the way of specifics, all of a sudden comes forth with a bunch of them. I will respect the autonomy of the Bank of Mexico. That would be like the equivalent of the Federal Reserve. We will not spend any more money than we have coming in. There will be no deficit spending. We will build the train Maya. That's a tourism train in the Mayan Peninsula. We will, we will plant 1 million trees, which is kind of an interesting thing. In the southeast of the country. Build a refinery. So anyway, and the gas prices also in the border area will be liberated in order to compete, or will be freed in order to compete with prices in the U.S. A lot of Mexicans now come up and shop for, they'll go to Rio Rico or Nogales or even Tucson to fill up because they're penalized by both the quality and the price of gasoline in Mexico.
The diplomatic corps thing that you mentioned early on, does that mean he would not have consulates or he'll keep the consulates?
He'll keep all the consulates, and I'm not sure how he's going to hold to that $5,000 threshold. There must be an exception when it comes to diplomatic corps, because if you're a Mexican ambassador or a consul and you're in a place like New York City or Philadelphia or L.A., you have high cost of living.
Right.
I'm sure there will be exceptions, but these were things that are being done to send messages across the board to the country. And the details will be some of the things he's implementing. He says, that's subject to a referendum, which is also kind of like his out. He's going to go ahead and send this to people, which is a great idea as long as the referendum is a fair one. So his speech was to tell people in Mexico, here's what we're going to be dealing with for the next 6 years. he says, I will be cutting my own salary to, you know, to 40% of what the outgoing, by the way, outgoing President Peña Nieto is right there on the podium with him. He says, I'll be cutting my salary. He made every government for the last 36 years into a nefarious, squandering the public resource type of government. He didn't go after individuals by name. He did say something which I thought was fascinating, I think could backfire. He did say, we don't intend, he says, my sense, I forget exactly how he phrased it, but it was quite eloquent for him because he's a terrible speaker. Something to the effect of, my sense of vengeance is tempered by my need to get this country afoot again. So there will not be prosecution of, for people over the last 6 years. We're going to simply, basically almost an amnesty is what he goes to. And when you do something like that, though, you know, if you knew when you'd build, you in particular, a man who probably, you know, goes to the public library and, you know, does it with the intent of holding your book for a couple extra days and then just praying that the library will have the moratorium. If it becomes a precedent, a way of life, then you will never return your book. You'll always wait for the library to have that moratorium.
Yeah.
So this is what is he's proposing also for people. So, there's a certain danger to that.
Okay.
And the real question that I have, all of this can work beautifully if and when it becomes clear that he's going to allow the three powers to do their job.
Right.
The fourth power, obviously, is the press.
He's flying economy class, I guess, then, on his
travels? He's always done it. For all of our perceptions about Mexican politicians all having their hand in the public till. I think he actually is probably a very wealthy man, but it's probably through what they call in Spanish prestanombres, loan names or shills, you know, front men.
All right.
And so it wouldn't surprise me that he had, but he was a guy who, when he was the governor or whatever it was, regente of Mexico City, himself drove it like a Nissan Suru or a Sentra to work.
Wow.
In this campaign, I went to see him live. I guess it's redundant, but I went to see him in Nogales, Mexico, and I shuddered because he had no security around him.
Wow.
I was sitting, he walked right past me. I could have just it was tempting. I could have just jumped on him and strangled him with my pack. The security is terrible. He's decided that he's a man of the people and he will wade into crowds wherever he wants, which is great. That was a wonderful policy in the 1840s.
Yeah, but very dangerous these days, certainly.
It's very dangerous no matter where you are in the world. The United States appears to have a monopoly on fanatical, you know, gun happy madmen, but they tend to be people like that all over the world.
Keith, thank you so much. Great talking to you as usual. Keith Rosenblum.
My pleasure, Bill.
Keith Rosenblum, our Mexico contributor. Instead of cookies this Christmas, you can make Santa tingle. Leave a treat from Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. And Mona's is a great place to go right now if you're out and about for lunch, but how about giving Mona's a try for all of your Christmas goodies, from Christmas cookies to dinner rolls for the Christmas table, and of course, the Danish Kringle for any of these holiday mornings. Really start the morning off, get in the festive spirit with a Danish Kringle. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and their website is monasdanishbakery.com. You can also visit there or give them a call at 579-1959. Check out Mona's Danish Bakery, the bakery of the Buckmaster Show and home of the Danish Kringle. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Coming up, Michael C. Flowers, certified public accountant, CPA of the firm Flowers, Rieger & Associates. But Michael, before I tell folks about all the big changes, I want to talk about one of my great sponsors. Good to see you, by the way.
Great to see you, Bill.
I want to talk about one of my great sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners, Michael, over to that part of the country. People have lived, you know, like yourself, lived in Tucson forever, looking for something different. Only about a three-hour road trip over to Silver City, and so many activities over there, historic part of the country, the Gila National Wilderness, and some fine dining. New York Times has even written up Silver City is having some great restaurants. So it's a great place to check out perhaps over the holidays.
Right after the holidays,
yeah,
for us.
Yeah, there you go, right after
we got some year-end planning to
I know
about.
You do. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Check their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for more information about where to stay and the many activities. So, Michael, this is the year-end tax tips, but there's going to be some big changes for folks when they go to have their taxes done, hopefully at a CPA like Flowers, Rieger & Associates.
Yeah, I think this is the most important year in a long time for many taxpayers. They've changed the tax laws dramatically, especially if you have a business. But as it relates to individuals, they're going to see some bad things in that the maximum amount of real estate taxes and income taxes combined can only be a $10,000 deduction. So if you had $8,000 in real estate tax and you had $10,000 withheld from your W-2s, which would be a total of $18,000, you'll only be able to deduct $10,000. So that's on the bad side. Another thing on the bad side is if you work for a company and you have non-reimbursed business expenses, some people claim mileage or meals and entertainment. A lot of our clients are involved in that. That's not going to be deductible, along with brokerage fees. Brokers generally charge about 1% to manage money. If you have $1 million, that's $10,000. That $10,000 is no longer deductible.
So let me hear this again. If you take a client out to lunch or something, is that not going to be allowable for deduction?
If you're working for a company, it's generally not going to be deductible. If you own your own company, it's deductible up to about 50%.
Okay. So a portion would be like for Bill Buckmaster, my company.
For your company, if you and I went to lunch, and of course we talk business.
Of course.
then, of course, we're going to be able to deduct half of that.
So you deduct
lunch
a little bit. But that is a change. That's a big change, actually.
The change is more on the employees that they're called non-reimbursed business expenses,
okay.
And the government's eliminated that.
What's the good news? Yeah, the good news.
The good news is that they've now allowed a married couple to claim a standard deduction of $24,000, which is a really big number. And in addition, if people have dependent children, in the past they used to get a $4,000 deduction, and now instead of that, they're given a $2,000 credit, which is a dollar-for-dollar credit. And unless you're in a 50% tax bracket, a $2,000 credit is better than a $4,000 deduction. So they've done things to improve. We've noticed in our office doing the tax planning we're doing, there's about a 15% tax savings. A lot of that is when they compress the tax rate. So if you were formerly in a 39.7% bracket, you may be in a 37 or a 35% bracket.
That's big.
That's really big.
And yeah.
If you paid about $20,000 in total taxes last year, on average, you should be down to $15,000, mm-hmm. which is $400 a month, which is a car payment. So
yeah,
it's serious money. Most important thing anybody can do is get with their CPA. I'm going to make a big plug for a CPA. I don't believe in the 1040 shops.
You mean those people who stand on the corner with the Statue of Liberty, dressed like the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, I'm not sure they're up on the tax law like we are. I have invested about $10,000 in my office between educating the staff and buying additional software and other non-chargeable time related to interpreting. This is the most dramatic tax change I've seen almost in my lifetime. So it's very important that people pay attention, but most of the items you have to do by December 31st, which is only 3 weeks out. So it's critical that you get with your CPA, understand what the tax law changes are, and understand what you may be able to do such that you're not paying as much.
Can my listeners give you a call?
Certainly. We're more than happy, and just mentioned the Buckmaster Show. Phone number is 327-8706. We don't charge for an initial consultation, just so you can get to know us, so we can sort of analyze the problem. If we can solve it over the phone, you don't get a bill.
Huh.
If it takes some work, we'd be happy to provide the work at a reasonable cost. But the most important thing we like to see within the community is that people don't unnecessarily pay taxes.
Are you in new offices?
We're in new offices. We're in the Old Farm Executive Park, which is by the Costco on Grant Road, just east of Craycross.
Because you are over on Broadway forever.
We were there for about 30 years.
Yeah.
So I'm not a young guy anymore.
But you like the new office over on off Grant.
I like the new office, and I really like what the new tax law is going to allow us to do. This year is going to be one of our best years in terms of intricacies and really, really helping our clients, because as we navigate through some of these tax laws, if you own a business, unbelievably critical, the government has allowed about a 20% reduction in your income because they changed the corporate rate from 35% down to 21%.
That's good news.
And the outroar was, what about us small businesses?
Right.
The government made sure that, because most small businesses aren't incorporated as a C corporation, because mm-hmm. you wind up paying double taxation.
Right.
So most of our clients are S corporations, pay the taxes personally. But if somebody made $100,000, generally they'll pay tax on $80,000, and that $80,000 will be at a lower tax bracket. So we're really optimistic that we're going to see some additional refunds and some more money in the hands of small businesses so they can do the great job they do for this economy.
Michael C. Flowers, what do you say to those that say, I just can't afford a CPA?
I think it's one of the best investments you can make. If you spend $500 with the CPA, we can almost guarantee you that we're going to save you more than that. And the other thing is just the peace of mind. We see a lot of non-CPA tax returns.
You do.
And I won't say the word fraud, but it's just... It's horrendous in terms of what people think they know or do know or put on a tax return. And
in other words, you do cleanup from the works.
We're a chemist. We make gold out of not too good stuff.
Yeah. Again, Michael, give your phone number and any of our listeners give you a call.
Yeah. Again, it's Mike Flowers, 327-8706. Just ask for me. Mention the Buckmaster Show, and as a courtesy to Bill and the wonderful job he does in the community, we'd like to pay some things back. And again, you're not going to get a bill, and we're more than happy to handle your general questions. It's a nice service. We used to do it through Arizona Society of Certified Public Accountants.
All right. Michael C. Flowers of the CPA firm Flowers Rieger Associates. Michael, you and yours have a lovely and joyous holiday season.
Same to you, Bill, and one to you and your listeners as well.
Thank you very much. Bob Dio on the other side of the glass. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and on behalf of Mr. Flowers, we hope you have a great day. Have a great day.